This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. Food banks and community pantries are expected to see a jump in hunger after the Supplemental Nutrition and Assistance Program, or SNAP, was cut on Friday. Under SNAP, also known as food stamps, a family of four that gets $668 per month for groceries will find that amount cut by $36. We're going to be talking about a local program called Thanksgiving 365, which is a effort of inner city development to raise money for stocking its emergency food pantry for families in crisis for the full year. And local volunteers will fast until they each raise $1,000 for the program. But first, we're joined by Congressman Pete Gallego, a Democrat that represents San Antonio, over to West Texas to get the latest on the cuts to SNAP. Congressman Gallego, are you there?
I am, and thank you for having me.
Welcome to The Source. So what happened? Why the cuts to the food stamps program?
Well, I will tell you that the 2009 was called the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. A lot of people just refer to it as the stimulus bill. That expired, the spending from that expired on November the 1st, and that had injected a little over 13.6% into the SNAP program. And so that's an automatic cut in the SNAP program with the expiration of the stimulus funding. And so you're seeing that. And then hopefully, we'll be able to pick up some on that, because one of the challenges with SNAP in general is that there's a lot of people in D.C. who are shooting at that particular program who feel like it's too high. And we've got to hold the line. That literally is a lifeline for many Texans.
The number to join the conversation for listeners, 614-8980, 614-8980, or you can also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. So it was part of the stimulus program, and I understand it, and you helped me get a better understanding of what's going on here, that for every dollar that the federal government spends on the SNAP or food stamps, that actually it brings about $1.70 in economic activity.
Well, that's certainly the theory, and that's one of the arguments that was raised in order to fight off some of the cuts on SNAP. Frankly, I will tell you that SNAP is arguably among the most efficient of the government-run programs. Only about 4% of the payments are made in error. That's a 96% accuracy rate, which is pretty good. That tells you that 96% of the people who get SNAP payments actually need it. And, while we can work on that 4%, it's really a travesty when you start taking assistance away from that 96% that genuinely and sincerely deserves it and needs it.
Is there an effort in Washington, D.C. now to come up with a fix, to put the money back that was taken out with the expiration of the stimulus?
I will tell you that it is one of the biggest bones of contention between Democrats and Republicans in Washington. It is all contained in the Farm Bill, and the Farm Bill has been this huge fight that's come to the floor of the U.S. House several times and now is in conference with the House and the Senate. But unfortunately, the majority in the House, at least, doesn't seem to have an affinity for SNAP. And there are members over there who want to cut up to $40 million from the SNAP program. The House originally had envisioned a $20 billion cut, and I'm saying B with a billion with a B. And that will tell you that this cut, if all of those things happen, this cut is just the first of several. And if you're looking at places like San Antonio, where the food bank serves upward of 50,000 meals a week, then you're only going to see that increase, because you're going to see a lot more people turning to local help.
Yeah. So what are the expectations? Is there a plan if, you make these cuts of SNAP, and what are people supposed to do?
Well, I think that is the question that we are asking some of our colleagues in Washington, who are so adamant about cutting these governmental programs that they view as entitlement programs, and this is one of them. Frankly, my biggest challenge with this is you're literally taking food out of the mouths of kids. I mean, there was no investigation, there was no study as to how much money should or should not be in the program or how much abuse there was, at least certainly not during my time in the Congress in the 10 months that we've debated the farm bill, even in committee, there was just a number that they decided that they were going to cut without any witness testimony, without any of those kinds of things. And so right now we're looking at our conferees to make sure that our conferees toe the line, and talking to our fellow members to make sure that our fellow members are aware of the really devastating cuts that were made just automatically on November the 1st, and how that increases exponentially if you cut those SNAP funds in the conference bill.
There is also a concern that many of the SNAP recipients are not even aware that their monthly allotment has been slashed by $36 a month.
Well, and that's right. I mean, a lot of people don't pay attention per se to what's going on in Washington, and many people don't think that what's going on in Washington directly impacts them. This is one of those situations where, for a lot of folks, it does. It's about a 7% cut. As you indicated, it's $36, which may not sound like a lot of money to a lot of people. But frankly, when you're struggling to put food on the table for your kids, for those families who are counting every dollar, that's a pretty significant hardship. And again, for me, it's taking money out of the mouths of kids who genuinely need it. And we haven't even talked about the numerous veterans of our armed services who also receive SNAP benefits, who are also going to see a cut as a result of these changes.
We'll elaborate on how this is going to impact those veterans.
Well, I mean, there's a significant number that runs in the several hundred thousand veterans across the country who are receiving SNAP benefits. And they, like every other beneficiary of SNAP, is going to see, on November 1st, is going to see that that cut of about 7% or so. And, again, if that bill comes back from conference with additional cuts, they're going to see additional cuts. And these are people who, in my view, again, have... you know, it's just so basic that we need to help people with food sometimes, and the food bank simply cannot do it all. And I would hope that that's what my fellow members of Congress would understand and realize.
Well, there's been some criticism of the Democrats of not fighting hard enough to protect these programs, and talk of a grand bargain. Are these programs, are they on the chopping block? Are they being offered up as a political chip in a grand game?
I would not think that that these are a political chip. I will tell you that as a government, it is common knowledge that we have a deficit. It is common knowledge that we have got to get that deficit under control, and I think everybody agrees on that. It's just a question of where and how you make cuts. Some members of Congress would rather cut in some areas. Some other members of Congress want to cut somewhere else. I mean, the Congress is a microcosm of the country, and functions right now as a microcosm of the country. But again, I'm hoping that people will prioritize SNAP funding.
All right, Congressman Pete Gallego, thank you for calling in and giving us an update on what's happening to cuts in the SNAP program. We're going to let you go, but when we come back from this break, we're going to be talking about a local program that's trying to raise money to fund a local food pantry to help folks in San Antonio who need that assistance. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. We just wrapped up talking with Congressman Pete Gallego, Democrat from San Antonio, about cuts to the food stamps program. That's going to have a direct impact on San Antonio's hungry, and the organization Inner City Development is working on stocking their emergency food pantry with the effort Thanksgiving 365. And joining us to talk more about that, Faith Radel and Asia Sherevino, President of the and CEO of Playhouse San Antonio. And welcome to The Source.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So what is this fundraiser that y'all are doing? Faith, tell me about that.
So Thanksgiving 365 is an effort that Inner City Development has every year during the Thanksgiving season to kind of capitalize on the giving spirit that people are in. What happens every year is a lot of charities get a lot of donations, and a lot of food comes in around Thanksgiving when people are in this very giving mood. But then, you know, January hits and the donations aren't there. And, you know, that's when the need really hits for a lot of families, is right after the holidays. And, you know, they struggle throughout the year. So hunger is an issue year round. And the effort is to raise the money to support the food pantry for the entire year during the Thanksgiving season.
All right. So individuals here in San Antonio coming together, raising money, $30,000. You know, I know $30,000 is a lot of money for me, but it seemed like that's not a whole lot of money for a program that's going to help so many people throughout the year. I mean, is that what we're talking about?
$30,000 is what it takes to just stock the food pantry, the emergency food pantry. What the emergency food pantry does throughout the year, it's volunteer run, so there's no administrative overhead.
So all the money you raise is going right
directly to
help
food.
People.
Directly to food. And this goes to help families that are in crisis, that are suffering emergencies. A lot of these people are on food stamps or receiving some kind of assistance or waiting to receive assistance. And the smallest emergency that may not seem like an emergency to somebody else can throw their entire budget off. A kid gets sick and they've got to pay for medication or they've got to take care of some costs like that. And then the choice becomes, you know, do we take care of our sick child or do we spend it on groceries? And so this is meant as a way to kind of fill that gap for people in crisis.
So Asia, you're here. People may know you from KLRN, the arts program, and over at the Playhouse, and you guys are doing great work over there.
You got Thank
La
you so
Miz.
Much. We did. We just closed it. It was a great show.
And so, but what's your involvement with this fundraiser?
I know Ryan, who is working with the organization, and he has done it for a couple of years, and he asked me last year, and I couldn't do it, and I really wanted to because I've worked on the West Side. I've been a part of this community for a long time, and I know that hunger is a major issue, and I think we all need to bring awareness to it and lots of money towards this pantry because these people need it, and it's so important that leaders in our community come out and be a part of this fasting program. I'd like to challenge all of the leaders to come out and fast for it. It's a very, very important cause.
So how are you going to do this? Is there like a bell that rings?
There's a big bell early in the morning. We're doing a press conference tomorrow morning, right?
It kicks off at 10 a.m. tomorrow. And at that time, everybody who signed up to fast will begin fasting on bread and water until they raise their $1,000. So they go ahead and they reach out to their friends, to their families, to everyone they know, and hit them up for donations. So kind of makes the $30,000 a little easier when it's broken up in $1,000 increments.
Little bite-sized
exactly,
portions.
Exactly. And we've got a great group of people doing it. In addition to Asia, we've got Daryl Bird from SA 2020 who is fasting. We've got Alvaro from Piñata Protest. We've got a wide range of people.
So that's
we're
a band?
Yes. So we're trying to reach all different kinds of people and get them to contribute at whatever level they can. And they can do so through going to innercitydevelopment.org.
I'm hoping that we get some more arts people out here to raise money as well. It's good to get
everybody out. Yeah, so there's still, you don't have 30 people yet, right?
We've got 22, which means we would, you know, if everybody did their 1,000, it would be 22,000. So, you know.
Well, I guess I could add my name to the list.
Yes, awesome news.
Join the thing and have bread and water tomorrow.
Yes.
So if I sound hungry on the air, that'll be it. That'll be why, because raising the $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can use like social media to reach out to folks to do that, right? How is
Absolutely.
That working? And then you can do like special, I know like Kickstarter, this is not like that, but you use that energy.
Right. And we use a service called Razoo, which you can collect your donations through that. And it all goes directly to Inner City Development. But you can kind of keep track of who's donating on your behalf.
Okay, you got to help me set that up. Cause
I will.
I don't know how to do all this.
But it's so easy. It's very, very easy. I promise.
Okay. So tell me again. So about this program, Inner City Development. And this is I know they've been around forever working on the West Side. Housing, all sorts of issues. But tell me more about that, Faith. What's your connection to this organization, Faith?
So my parents founded the organization. So
your mom is?
My mom is Patty Radel, and she and Rod actually were the first executive directors. They weren't the actual founders, but they were the first executive directors and have been the volunteer co-directors for over 40 years. So I sort of grew up in the program and around the program. And they provide a lot of basic services to the West Side. They're located in the economically poorest neighborhood in Bexar County. So they're providing a lot of very basic services. And again, it's an all-volunteer organization. So they do that through, you know, volunteers coming in and providing emergency food, clothing, summer program for children, youth activities, you know, after-school tutoring, sports programs, all kinds of things to that immediate neighborhood. And they serve just under 2,000 families with emergency food throughout the year. And it's 2,000 families, not people. So it's a lot of people.
Absolutely.
Okay, so now you've got me worried about what this is going to be like. So, Asia, you're going to do this tomorrow.
I am.
Tell me, because everyone who's seen you on TV knows that, you know, you're probably have like one calorie to spare stored up in your body.
You know, I think this is really important, though. This is an important organization. It's an important cause. And I'm going to run tomorrow morning with my running partner and be all charged up and ready to go. And I know that we will raise money really quickly because it's so important. And so many people will know through Facebook and Twitter and all the things. We'll get it out on the web and email it out. And also the Playhouse itself, we're going to be sending information out to our patrons and just letting them know that we want to support this organization, and please join us in this effort. It's important. So that's happening tomorrow, and we'll see how it goes. I've got events all week, so if I'm not eating, that's why. And you just need to come to my website and donate.
And back to the inner city development. Tell me more about what else they do. I know that there was a housing component to that.
There's another nonprofit that's housed in the same building as InterCity that deals with low income housing, but that's separate from InterCity. But they're also in that same building.
This is all the stuff that your parents do. They're just so phenomenal.
Lots of stuff. Yes. Lots and lots of stuff, but good stuff and needed in that community.
My mom ran a soup kitchen downtown San Antonio for many, many, many years, feeding the homeless and stuff. I grew up, you know, helping her run that soup kitchen and stacking chairs and picking up, food and cooking it and stuff. And this really brings me back on how a lot of us in San Antonio have deep roots in helping this community. And sometimes we kind of forget about them and how we need events like this. I mean, this is not a huge commitment. You can get involved and make a big difference. And you said this provides food for a full year. How is it possible that this is going to provide?
Well, it provides emergency food. So this is the stopgap. This is when everything else fails and there's an emergency. They come in and they provide them with groceries to get them through the next 4 days or until until the food stamp check comes in. This is the stop.
Right, and it takes a while to sign up for these programs. Uh-huh. You know, you lose your job one day and you're living paycheck to paycheck like so many folks, and then and you lose your job and you think you go sign up for that food stamps benefit, that Lone Star card. It could be weeks before
or months, the reality is a lot of people. They're encouraging people to apply online, which is difficult for a lot of very poor people. They don't have the same kind of access that a lot of us do. And then the other thing is once you apply, they tell you to wait for a phone call. They do like a phone interview. If you miss that phone interview, the whole process restarts. And a lot of people who don't have a lot of money and are in crisis, their phone gets cut off, their cell phone gets cut off. They miss that phone call. They start all over again in the process and have to wait, you know.
And so what the food pantry has, what kind of meals, what kind of packages,
boxes? They don't actually do meal. What they do is they provide groceries for the family to take home to provide food to get them through that week. They do that up to two times a year for families, but they're concerned that they're going to have to increase that because of the cuts. We've got a fifth of the population in Bexar County is on food stamps or receiving support from food stamps. That's a huge number of people.
Yeah, and nationwide the average is 1 in 7, but here in San Antonio it's higher.
Yeah, 1 in 5, and 75% of those are elderly or children who are receiving those benefits.
Right. So I know that there's the idea is we have a lot of people here in San Antonio. They are, you know, veterans. They have they're elderly. They're children.
They may be working. Minimum wage is not going to feed a family of four. So,
right. And it's so Asia, how are you? Do you have like something like candy bars ready to go since you hit your $1,000?
No.
How is that going to work for you?
I never, as anyone knows that knows me, I never eat candy bars. It would totally be high protein. But, you know, I think that doing this also reminds me of how important it is. And we're such a foodie town and all of our events are centered around food. So it's just that time of reflection to think about there's so many people in this city that go to bed at night without anything or have those emergencies and need that food pantry. So I feel like this is a blessing, you know, to think about it and stop and reflect, especially around this time of year and Thanksgiving and Christmas. We all need to be very grateful and give.
Yeah, so it's called Thanksgiving 365. How do I find it online? How do people give online?
You can go to innercitydevelopment.org, click on the news page, and there will be a link there to where you can donate. You can also find Inner City Development on Facebook, and we'll be providing updates there starting tomorrow. But you can go and donate now if you want on innercitydevelopment.org.
And you should, to me and Faith's, our site.
Yeah.
Because we're here.
And then when I get my name up there.
And you.
Yes.
And we get you all hooked up.
Okay. But when people have a need, how do they find you?
Inner City Development is located at 1300 Chihuahua on the city's west side. They can also reach them by phone at 210-224-7239.
And so you're projected to serve over 70,000 meals this year to families that are in crisis. These are families that are located in the most economically troubled parts of Bexar County, and 100% of the funds raised go directly to putting food in the pantry. And $30,000, it seems like it's very attainable. We just need to get people aware and make it easy so we can distribute, you know, how easy it is, you know, $50, $25, $10, $5 here and there. It can do a lot of great good.
Absolutely.
It all adds up.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I definitely want to thank you guys for joining us, drafting me. I guess we'll make it helping me volunteer for this, because I will join.
Making you volunteer.
Inspiring me to volunteer. I will be joining this effort, going without food and drinking just water and Snickers. Is that it? No. Bread and water.
Bread and water only.
Until we reach the $1,000 goal. And that money will go directly towards Inner City Development and their emergency food pantry. And I want to thank Faith Radel and Asia Shervino, President and CEO of Playhouse San Antonio. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about angry white men. Stay tuned.